before expanding toward the north central this weekend. As the dome ages and shifts, the door will open for thunderstorms to erupt over the deserts. This is SRN News.
Sometimes I think it takes a few years before we can look back and recognize some things. I recall seeing my mother, not understanding the depth of what she was going through.
For more expository preaching from Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, tune in weeknights at 9 and Saturday mornings at 9 on The Truth.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in today. We're looking forward to your dialogue and discussion on the issue. We're interviewing our 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th time with Dr. Reed Sheftel. Dr. Sheftel is what I would consider a professional expert on the subject of SARS-CoV-2 and the virus and the vaccines, and whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. I have in my hand his Volume 2, Sanctioned, the COVID Murders. We've talked about that book before when we've interviewed Dr. Sheftel before. The SARS-CoV-2 virus, a forensic investigation. I'm looking forward to further dialogue and discussion on it. Love to have you call in. Your questions, comments, dialogue, discussion. Perhaps you went through COVID. Perhaps you have what some are now calling long COVID. I want Dr. Sheftel to talk about, is there such a thing as long COVID? That telephone number is 904-831-0917. Dr. Sheftel, again, thank you for being here. I'm looking at a headline article. It says, FDA spun, S-P-U-N, autopsy results to downplay COVID vaccine deaths in kids. Talk about that. Is it possible that our government lied to us and the FDA sullied the results and the reports so that it will not show the real facts? What do you know about that? And should we ever in the future believe what they say? Let me just read one paragraph. A career staff at the Food and Drug Administration spun the autopsy results of dead children to reduce the number of children dying from COVID vaccine, according to internal FDA emails released by Senator Ron Johnson to 2 former FDA officials and forensic pathologists who investigated the deaths. Tell us about that.
Yeah, the FDA had kind of 2 groups of people. Let's call them the white horse guys and the dark horse guys.
Mm-hmm.
The white horse guys were telling the government in no uncertain terms that the vaccines were killing children.
Mm-hmm.
And the government kept it quiet. I'm talking about the Biden administration. They actually kept that information from the public while they were mandating the vaccines. Pastor.
Yes.
The black hat guys, the criminals over at FDA, were actually fudging the autopsy results to make them not look so bad and not indicate that the vaccines were killing the kids. They were faking the data on the autopsy.
Yes.
So we had some FDA people who were trying to send bad information to the government, And we had some that were begging the government, please tell the public
the truth.
These things are killing people. Stop mandating them. Yes. And the Biden administration ignored them.
Absolutely. In fact, I'm looking at a headline. In other words, they never told the public. Biden concealed the facts that FDA doctors linked childhood deaths to the COVID shots. Now, yes. To me, I don't know about the listeners, but that is an astronomical, absolute, staring, glaring problem for the general public to somehow, some way, have our confidence and faith and trust in organizations in the federal government, the CIA, the FBI, the DOJ, CDC, NIH, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Pastor, I don't understand why the public isn't absolutely furious up in arms about this. It's like they've just stood by passively and allowed themselves to be abused over this. They ought to be indicting people who kept this hidden. Now, Biden, as we both know, had severe senile dementia while he was president.
Yes.
That's established. But all this documentation that's coming out now where these FDA doctors are saying, no, I sent reports over, memos, reports, we were sending copies of the papers we wrote on this over to the government so they could warn the public, and they buried all of it. Those people that buried this stuff should be prosecuted for
absolutely.
It. It resulted in the deaths of many, many children.
And here's one paragraph. It's a lengthy paragraph, but I'll bifurcate it. From a stunning report that confirms again and again skeptics' concerns over the deadly impact of COVID-19 shots created by the pharmaceutical companies and sold for billions of dollars to the American government during the pandemic. It's known that the federal officials linked these shots to the childhood deaths at the time, and yet the Biden administration kept it all secret. One little brief statement then following that. Investigative journalist Catherine Herridge has reported online that the Joe Biden administration suppressed all the details about COVID shots pediatric deaths, as well as the total number of death counts for COVID in America.
Yes, and by the way, the author of that inquiry is Catherine Herridge.
Yes.
And she is not a flippant journalist. She's
That's right.
a very, very serious journalist. You may have seen her on television quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all true. It's really incredible that the public isn't just going ballistic over this. And by the way, before I talked about Vetus Gerulaitis saying nobody beats Vetus Gerulaitis 17 times in a row. Yet the public has allowed these fake pandemics, these fake viral pandemics, to be applied to them numerous times, dozens of times since 1900. We're talking about the 1976 swine flu. We're talking about the 2005 bird flu. Remember that one?
Yes.
Where they said 275 million people worldwide were going to die,
yes.
and like 50 people supposedly died.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 2010, Obama did it with swine flu,
mm-hmm.
and he had a lot of people. He tried to scare everybody into taking a vaccine, but only 25% of the people did, and he had proclaimed that hellfire would rain down on the population if they didn't take the vaccine,
mm-hmm.
and only 25% did, and the next day, nothing happened. I mean, it was all talk,
mm-hmm.
and then, of course, COVID came along. They tend to happen about every 10 years, if you've noticed that, long enough for people to forget about
it. Yes, absolutely.
And since COVID, there has been, I made a little list here, there's been monkeypox. Do you remember that?
Yes.
There has been the so-called X virus,
mm-hmm.
that they said, we don't have a name for it yet, but when the X virus comes, it's going to be terrible. Remember that?
Yes.
Then bird flu came along, and they actually spent $4 million, they spent the money to prepare and buy 4 million vaccines for bird flu.
Mm-hmm.
Like two people in the whole United States had maybe gotten it or maybe not. I don't think they even got it. Then hantavirus came along within the last year. Hantavirus from the Andes Mountains in South America. Now, we know that there's a hantavirus strain that occurs commonly in the Four Corners region of the United States. That's where Colorado, New Mexico, Arizona, and I think Utah come together. All four states, they come together at a single point. And that's typically where these hantavirus outbreaks occur every year. And, of course, it's transmitted in the urine and feces of mice. But it's not transmissible. And the reason I know a lot about hantavirus is I used it to prove to Dr. Bhattacharya when we were debating our 24 hours together, which we put on the internet, and YouTube took down a bunch of them. Can you believe that? Mm. Me and Dr. Bhattacharya, and they're taking our videos down.
Yeah.
Anyway, I used it to prove that asymptomatic transmission cannot occur because it takes way more viral load to transmit than it does to cause symptoms. So asymptomatic transmission cannot occur. Mm-hmm. Because if you have enough viral load to transmit, you went way past the threshold for getting symptoms.
And yet we had grandkids that were not allowed to see grandparents because they were the carriers and they would kill grandma and grandpa.
Totally ridiculous.
Totally ridiculous.
Absolutely
ridiculous.
Was
there any, even a germ of evidence or proof of that being potential?
No, it's impossible. I proved it with Dr. Bhattacharya and I used hantavirus. Yes. Because hantavirus has a 40% fatality rate. Right?
Yes. Supposedly.
Yeah, and it can't transmit.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get hantavirus from another person, at least the American Four Corners variety. They were saying that the Andes mountain variety from South America could transmit from person to person. They tried to throw everyone into a panic over hantavirus.
That's right.
What has happened with hantavirus? Poof, it just disappeared.
It's gone.
Good Lord. Continuing with my list here, then they went on to Ebola. They were trying to scare us about Ebola about a month ago. Remember that?
Yes.
Okay. And then now I've heard that monkeypox is rearing its ugly head again.
Yes. The governor of New York is hyping it heavily.
Isn't that absurd?
Mm-hmm. So the bottom line is when we're
and about this thing in Michigan that you just mentioned. Sorry for interrupting there, Pastor. You just mentioned this disease that started out in 50 people and went to 700 up in Michigan, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well. I don't know about you, but I'm not going to eat whatever vegetables were contaminated with feces, are you?
No.
And right. Yet, so I'm not going to get that.
That's the very point. It listed the cities and the counties and the areas in Michigan where this was heavily taking place. But then in the article, it goes on to talk about it spreading across America.
Yeah.
So
right. It's absurd to speak that way. They're just trying to elicit fear in the population so they will agree to some crazy protocol of treatments, just like they did for COVID.
Exactly.
Just like they did for the 1976 swine flu.
My position is that they're priming the pump, getting Americans ready to bow at a so-called pandemic that, in my most humble opinion, is on the horizon for Americans and later this fall. I believe that's where we're headed. They're setting they have already proven that America will close our churches. They've already proven that when there's enough pandemic fright, America would close businesses. They've already proven that America would be willing to bow, to bend, and put on up to 4 masks as you walk down the aisles in a grocery store. They've already proven that Sir Anthony Fauci and what he says will be believed, embraced, and then the scare tactic used and spread across America. And as I'm saying that, I must go back to a fact. And I've done the research on it, and as I understand it, 241 major research studies across the world about masks have been done. Can you tell me, Dr. Sheftall, has there been any study that's proven that masks are efficacious for stopping the spread of a pathogen?
No, they haven't. And by the way, I was the first person to prove that it was impossible for masks to stop the spread of an aerosol, something that you exhale in your breath that's an aerosol. And the proof is very simple. I can tell you that, or I can continue on with what proves the SARS-CoV-2 virus doesn't exist. Which would you rather me talk about?
Let's talk about the mask quickly.
Okay, very quickly.
I think we've got very many
quickly.
Listeners right at this very moment. I've seen too many that are still wearing masks, going in place of business, etc. I got kicked out of my own physician's office in 2021 in November because I refused to wear a mask. And they said, you can't come in without a mask. I said, I'll find another doctor. But I said, I'm a no-masker. I'm not going to destroy my lungs simply by appeasing the looks of what seems to be a fright across America. Go ahead.
There's the head of the internal medicine department at the University of California, San Francisco, which used to be a good medical school. says he's going to wear a mask the rest of his life. How stupid can you get? And by the way, the Cochrane Review tackled this, and they found that there was no benefit whatsoever of wearing a mask, even an N95 mask. No benefit at all.
Right.
But my proof, way back in March of 2020, God, I wish a few people had listened to me, but way back in March of 2020, I proved that masks cannot work. Now, the reason is aerosols, the virus is 30, let's see, it's 100 nanometers in diameter.
About 3 microns.
It's 100 nanometers in diameter. And that's not even in the visible spectrum. Okay, that means that you can't see it with a light microscope no matter how much you turn up the magnification.
Right.
That's what that means. Now, we also had people taking a puff on a cigarette and then putting a mask on quickly and then talking or exhaling, and you could see the smoke come right through the mask.
Yes.
But you could see the smoke coming through the mask. Okay, even without a microscope, you could see it coming through. Mm-hmm. So if the particulates in cigarette smoke, which you can see, are coming through the mask, then imagine how easy it is for something that's so small it's invisible to come through the mask. And that was my proof that the masks were not going to reduce transmission, and I was right.
I go back and correct my statement. It's 1 micron, as I understand
it. Yeah, 1 micron.
For the COVID pathogen virus, and the N95 openings are 3 microns.
It's a little bit like throwing a basketball through an open door.
It just goes
right through.
OSHA website at the time said, it's like trying to put a chain link fence over your face to keep the gnats out.
Yeah, that's a little bit extreme, but it's like throwing a basketball through an open door. I mean, it just goes right through.
Right through, absolutely.
So
talk about this other for a moment.
Well, the third pillar, we talked about the electron microscopic evidence, and that is that the things on the electron microscopy photographs are exosomes. They're not viruses. They're not identical. And I just showed you a picture of what identical particles look like, ladies and gentlemen. I showed the pastor here in the studio, and they were identical, weren't they?
Yes.
But those pictures of the so-called viruses weren't identical, were they?
No.
The third pillar is genome sequencing. And I really could talk about this for hours and hours, but to talk about it very quickly, before you sequence a genome, you have to isolate what you're sequencing. Otherwise, it's contaminated with other genetic material, right? You have to isolate it, remove it from everything else, and then you can sequence the genome that you have. But they tried to isolate it with a thing called an ultracentrifuge. And an ultracentrifuge is a machine that spins around very fast and separates things based on density.
Yes.
Okay, you've heard of that before, haven't you, Pastor?
Yes.
Okay. Well, if you've got RNA from bacteria in the human specimen, be it a nasal swab or bronchoalveolar lavage fluid, lung fluid, if you've got RNA in that fluid from bacteria, from fungi, from the patient himself, which is most of it, and from maybe some virus in there, or maybe several viruses, they're all the same density because they're all ribonucleic acid. They're not deoxyribonucleic acid, which is very easy to separate with an ultracentrifuge because it has different density. You with me?
Yes.
You've got all these RNA types that have come from different organisms, so they're not, you can't isolate viral RNA, let alone SARS-CoV-2 RNA. What if there's 2,500 different viruses in your lungs, which according to the experts, there are. Okay?
Yes.
Then you can't even isolate the RNA that you're trying to sequence. So you end up getting a sequence with human RNA in it for the SARS-CoV-2 virus. Mm-hmm. And we did. We had a mathematician look at all the sequences in the genome that Dr. Fan Wu submitted to GenBank, you know, way back on January 10th of 2020. Now, this is the very beginning. He was the first to submit a sequence. And we found out there's human ribosomal RNA in the SARS-CoV-2 virus. How could that happen? Well, it's because they couldn't separate the RNA from the patient himself that Fan Wu used to get the bronchoalveolar lavage fluid. You understand?
Yes.
His RNA was in the fluid, too. Of course it was. 95% of it was from the human patient. Just a little bit comes from fungi and bacteria and viruses. You with me?
I'm with you.
And so that's just absolute pseudoscience. And sorry, you cannot separate them with an ultracentrifuge.
And more and more as the onion, COVID onion, is being unpeeled.
Or being peeled.
Being peeled.
Yeah.
And more and more as we see the onion being peeled.
Yes.
And the facts coming out, we have more and more of those surveys, those informational gathering groups, i.e. Ron Johnson in the Senate, etc.
Yes.
I'm looking at a headline that says, key COVID scandal players refuse to testify to Congress, so U.S. Senator smacks him with a subpoena. A key COVID-19 scandal insider is reneging on his previous agreement to answer questions in Congress from Senator Ron Paul, Republican of Kentucky.
Who is that person who's reneging?
Sir Anthony Fauci.
Oh, my heavens. So Fauci agreed for a little while that he would come in and answer some questions, but now he's turned tail and he won't do it anymore. They need to subpoena him.
So,
he lied to Congress about gain-of-function research, correct, Pastor?
Yes.
So that should not be subject to his immunity. You know, when you lie to Congress, they take that very seriously.
Well, the question gets a little deeper and a little more quagmire with this. Mm-hmm. Looking at headline said, pardon or not, Senator calls for DOJ action on Anthony Fauci over the COVID schemes and lies. So the question that's now being bounded about, you know, Autopen Biden had pardoned his son and others, and Sir Anthony Fauci pardoned him for any future potential prosecution infinitum.
And they also had to make it retroactive. Back to 2014, shows you he's been up to shenanigans for a long, long time.
So now the question comes down to, and I'd love to have your take on it, the question is, I'm looking at the article, is he pardoned or is he not? That's the question for which a couple of U.S. senators are calling for answers. The target of their ire is Sir Anthony Fauci. I'm putting the sir there. Joe Biden's top advisor during the COVID-19 pandemic, in which the China virus killed millions and millions worldwide and decimated millions of Americans, their economic system and educational system.
Okay, I'd like to find fault with Ron Paul on that. Rand Paul, not
right.
Ron Paul, his father.
Gotcha.
Rand Paul. He just said that the virus killed millions and millions of people. But
supposedly.
I'm telling you, no, but he's saying, he says that all the time, that the virus killed all these people. No, sir, he's wrong. The virus did not kill all those people.
Maybe when
the vaccines killed all those people.
That's
the
right.
The virus killed no one because it didn't exist.
Exactly. That's where we're headed.
Gosh, I've written letters to Ron Johnson, who you just mentioned, and said, Senator, I'll be happy to fly up to Washington. And I know this sounds like I'm an egomaniac, and I apologize for it, but I have written this letter. I said, Senator, I'll be happy to fly up to Washington just to fill you in on what really happened here. Because Ron Johnson, and he's been a general force for good, I think you would agree with that, wouldn't you,
Pastor? Yeah, absolutely.
He has a lot of it completely wrong, and certainly Rand Paul has it really wrong. He still thinks it was an accidental lab leak from the Wuhan Institute of Virology. You're telling me that all this, and this enormous project, which was planned and caused all this death and destruction and extracted all this money from the population and killed all these people and took away their life savings, their place to live, et cetera, killed a bunch of them with the vaccine, was from an accidental lab leak?
Joke.
No way.
Mm-hmm.
No, no, no. This was planned from the very beginning. As a matter of fact, according to my new book here and my theory that there was no SARS-CoV-2 virus, they didn't even want to risk there being a virus in case it didn't behave the way they wanted it to. So they made up this whole scenario and scared people into thinking there was a virus when there was no virus. This is very much like the 1976 swine flu debacle, when they made 45 million Americans take a vaccine for a disease that didn't even exist. There wasn't a single confirmed case in the entire world. Please watch the Mike Wallace 60 Minutes exposure and buy this book, people, if you really want to understand what happened here.
Yes, let's talk about
this. This proof, in 100 pages, I put tons of pictures and graphs in there, which are fascinating and incredible. And the proof only takes 25 pages. You can read it in 30 minutes before dinner. I mean, this is the shortest book. It's only 100 pages. And then, of course, I have all the appendices, which are very important.
Well, your total, for our better understanding for the listeners, your total book is about 225 pages.
Correct.
You're talking about the major evidence, the proof factors that you find.
Yeah, the proof part of the book. The part that I wrote. And then, of course, my colleague, who goes by the name of Spartacus, wrote the timeline, and it is more than fascinating.
Yes.
And then, of course, in the appendices, I like to put the paper that our mathematician wrote, which is fascinating, especially if you're mathematically inclined. If you're not, you'll find the first five pages of it very interesting when he describes that there was no reason to think that the viral sequence came from a virus. I mean, God, it's right in there. And also, I list all the diseases that came in the first 2 months of the, all the serious adverse events that came in the first 2 months of the vaccine rollout.
I recommend
so
the reading.
You have everything you want to see here.
I recommend this reading, ladies and gentlemen, and the other two books. There's three volumes that Dr. Sheffield has published. You can go to fcbcatjax.com, fcbcatjax.com, scroll down, click on bookstore, go to the bookstore, and you'll find all three of his books, the latest one just out, Sanctioned, the COVID Murders, Volume 2, the SARS-CoV-2 Virus Forensic Investigation. Dr. Sheffield, our time is rapidly dissipating. I'm looking at a headline. Touch on this, get you to respond to it. Viral influencer, how Bill Gates, billions of dollars, shaped U.S. medical research. Shaped, it's not past tense, shaped, it's present tense. Speak about that and the dangers that's looming before as a result of Bill Gates and his billions that's going into this.
Yeah, this is, you know, I used to think of Bill Gates as this brilliant businessman, also a good coder, and the timing was perfect for him to have created Microsoft. But I'll tell you, after watching his behavior and studying it and looking into it in depth about these vaccines that he's been promoting, where he's been injecting them into third world country babies and stuff, and then the whole cohort of babies dies and all this horrible stuff, I'm really disappointed in him. Because, you know, he never allowed his children to be vaccinated in any way.
That's right.
So he goes and buys shares in BioNTech, which is the vaccine maker, mm-hmm. 3 months before the vaccine, according to the manufactured narrative, was supposedly discovered. Now, why would you buy the vaccine before the virus
That's
is
right.
discovered?
And the bigots,
and also
the bigots, he invests in all the big pharma.
Yes, it goes on. It goes way beyond that too. He was on TV every day. These stupid mainstream media stations were interviewing him every day, and he was telling people how important it was to take the vaccine. Mm-hmm. So then his investment that he bought, BioNTech, goes way up in 2 years, more than 10 times, and he sells the investment and makes $500 million. And then he tells people about the vaccine really wasn't very good. You know, that kind of thing is horrible.
Absolutely.
For a guy that's already worth $140 billion.
Yes. So, ladies and gentlemen, the bottom line is, if I can kind of do a wrap-up of our conversation today with Dr. Reed Sheffield, the bottom line is, we need to be as wise as serpents, harmless as doves. We need to investigate. We need to understand that the Holy Spirit of God is the one that we need to depend on. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as, once again, we face the issues.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM.